Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for the precious Word of God we're fixing to open. Thank you for preserving for our day to know we have absolutely what God would have us to read when we open this book to read about your plan, your purpose, your will in life. And now I pray you'd help this frail body be the vessel the Holy Spirit could use. The Lord, that our hearts would be receptive, that stewardship month would not just be a passing of time to say, I just attended church, that we might find ourselves, Lord, growing in grace and knowledge, adding to what we know, and yet at the same time recommitting our lives as we try to serve the living God in these last days. Our Father, our ear is towards heaven, waiting for the shout, not the voice of the archangel. And dear Father, until that day comes, help us keep our focus on you through the Word, so we know exactly what God's will is for us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May you be seated. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. I'm going to be reading a few verses from this, and then we'll get into the message. As we said, we're in Stewardship Month, and our subject is simply, Dear Lord, teach us what to do. And our subject today has to do about relationships. Dear Lord, teach me what to do about me understanding my relationship with you. Before we read, someone said relationship must have commitment, must have mutual respect, must have understanding, must have encouragement. And another person said, well, most of the time in our particular day, a relationship is people who share common wills to be settled in court. That's probably so. But God wants relationships to be more than that. When God has a relationship with someone, it's more than just to know about us. It's more than just to know about Him. And in Psalms 139, as we read, we'll start with verse 1. O Lord, David said, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's nigh, I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, Thou art there. To make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. And down you see with me in verse 14, and these other few other things in verse 9 through 13 he mentions. But in 14 he said, For the sake of time, I'll praise Thee, for I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as of yet there was none of them. How precious are also Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great the sum of them! I say amen to that. I love this book. And here's his thoughts. Somebody said, well, God comes to me at night and speaks to me in the dark at the foot of my bed. He scared me to death. I don't want to die. I'm glad I got his book. He comes to me by his spirit. If I stay in here, I'll know everything he wants me to know. And if I stay more, I'll know some things that maybe I wouldn't have known. And I know because I stay in this book. Verse 18, he said, if I should count them, they're more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me not in the way of everlasting. Look, if you will, over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 5. And God said through Moses, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Dear Lord, teach me what to do about me understanding my relationship with you. Thank God for good relationships. Saddest thing in this world, two people say they fall in love, and then within a few years, don't have a relationship and have to split up. That's sad. I read where there's a preacher, he loved his church, and he had his itinerary just got so big as far as the church was concerned, he was having time keeping up. So he mentioned from the pulpit one day, he's starting something new. He said that, "I can't get around everybody." He said, "I want to be sure I get to those that really need me." And he said, "I'd like to just start the day. If you'd like to have a session with me or like to have a visit with me about anything, drop a note in the collection plate. The ushers will pick it up and put a little box. We'll get that box and I'll schedule a meeting with you because I want to be available to those who need me the most." Well, first time the plates passed, the next service, there was one note put in the box. And the note read something like this: "Dear Pastor, I'm one of your most faithful members, and I'm one of the heaviest contributors that's in this church. I'd like to schedule a meeting with you this coming week. Signed, your loving wife." Barbara can say amen to that, I'll tell you. I'm glad she's been able to go with me, though. But anyhow, we're talking about a relationship with God. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, there's a difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone personally. A lot of folks say they know about God, but they don't know the true God personally. And that's just what this is all about. Jesus came into this world that we might know the Father personally. And you've heard me say many times from this pulpit, it amazes me. The more I study and see God and He enlarges Himself in my heart and my life, it amazes me that God would have a relationship with us that no Old Testament saint had. No one of the Old Testament saints in Israel and others had a relationship with God like you and I. We have a personal relationship. He's not only our God, He's our Heavenly Father. And we can go to Him anytime, any place. We don't have to wait for a certain Sunday morning or a Sabbath day or a tabernacle or a temple or go to some priest somewhere or another at that time. We can go anywhere, any place, any time. And if we're right with God in Jesus Christ, we have an audience with Almighty God in heaven, who's our Heavenly Father. Amen. And Jesus Christ is sitting at His right hand to help us have that audience because He's making intercessions for you and I. So it's a great difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone personally. Jesus came into this world that we might know the Father and have a heavenly person, a relationship with Him, not just know about Him in life. In John 14, verse 1, Jesus said when He was here, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me." In John 14 also, Philip one said to Him, Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father and it suffice us." And Jesus said, "Philip, have I been with you all this time and you don't know Me?" He said that he that has seen the Father has seen Me. Isn't that amazing? You know, I mean, some people say, "Well, let's see God the Father." Well, look at Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, if you see Me, you see the Father. You see who God is in the flesh. We can see Him. So I've never seen Him, but there are some men that did see Him with the physical eye. There are some women that did see Him with the physical eye, but you can see Him through eyes of faith. And I'll tell you, He'll be more real to you through eyes of faith than if you saw Him personally with your physical eyes. He's closer to you now than He could be when He was on this earth. When He's on this earth, you can only be in His presence when you was in His presence. Now you can be in His presence anywhere on this earth because He's in heaven and the Holy Spirit lives in our heart and He's omnipresent. And that's the reason I don't have to have any specific place to pray. Now there's some specific places I go to pray because I can get hold of God, seem like better. It's a beautiful place that sometimes you get along by yourself in certain places and it seems like you have an audience to God. But you can pray anywhere, anytime, any place. If you know Jesus Christ and plead the blood, you have an audience with God. So does I. So in this relationship, it's not just a hearsay. It's a real relationship. Jesus wants us to trust God. Not just believe that God is there, though we must believe that God is, according to the book of Hebrews. Why does He want us to do that? Because just knowing about God is not enough. Just knowing about God is not saving faith. Just knowing about God is not a personal relationship with God or personal trust. James in 2 verse 19 said, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believeth and trembleth." The devil knows there's a God. He not only believes, they know there's a God, but they tremble. In other words, the demons of hell do not have a personal relationship with God, even though they believe that He is there, even though they believe He is real. They are locked up in rebellion and evil rather than love for God. Jesus said they serve a liar. They serve one who is the father of lies. His name is Satan. In John 8:44, he tells us that. So as I look at this life, knowing about God is more than mental exercise. It's more than just having a conversation with different people, with different walks of life, faith, and saying that everybody knows God because they believe in a God, though it be a stone or a tree or a star or whatever. I'm glad to know that our God is not a stone. He's not a tree. He's not a star. He created it all, folks. He is a person. Amen. And he wants a relationship with people. And he made a way for that through the Lord Jesus Christ. God desires worship that involves our total being. He said, Moses, you say, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. You see, all of this started back with Adam and Eve when it was in the garden. God Almighty showed his love to them after he created them. Adam and Eve were living a perfect world with no problems whatsoever. You can't imagine that. You've had problems ever since you were born. But they live in a perfect world, a world in turn in an innocent world, until a time came that God allowed them to be tested. They were given free choice whether to obey God or not obey God. That God put a stamp of approval, it helped them been in his will. Not only did he make them in the flesh with the mentality, many things like God, but he gave them a will, like God has a will. But God's will is always true. But he tested Adam and Eve's will. And he told them, there's one thing you're not to partake of. We hit a little bit of this on Wednesday night. You're not to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do, there's coming a consequence of that. What is that consequence? You're going to die. Now, God meant what he said. But somehow or another, there came a time. How could they false, it was such a line from Satan, presented them knowing what God had said? There's a consequence if you don't obey what I say about this tree. Satan had to make Eve believe that the Lord did not have her best interest in mind. By the way, he makes a lot of times people in this life to believe that God don't have their best interest in life in their lives when things go kindly bad rather than being good. Yes, he does. Got to make the worst things come out for your benefit if he's in your life. I'll tell you that. Satan does a lot of things to you and I in this life because he has kind of a free run, but God's got a chain on him. Amen. He can't go no further than that is, and I learned that a long time ago. Satan had to make her believe this. A talking snake, as I said Wednesday, a talking snake convinced Eve that she did not have everything that she needed to make her happy. And so Adam and Eve had walked and talked with God daily, but they didn't know the nature of God. They didn't know the character of God. They didn't know the loving heart of God like they thought they did. God never gave them any reason to doubt him. God never gave them any reason not to love, that he didn't love them. There's no reason that Satan could bring this, you think, to their mind and get them to doubt the one who was their creator. Eve's problem was that God's word was not good enough for her as she began to analyze the lie versus the truth. She had to feel it to some degree. Kind of sound like today sometimes, doesn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, God don't want you just to feel the word. He wants you to obey it. He don't want me just feel the word and feel good and go out and live like. No, he wants me to obey the word. The word doesn't do anything for me at all unless I obey it. And neither does it do it to anyone else. So Eve's problem was that the word was not good enough for her. It is not God's fault that people do not know him. He has preserved his word for us. He's given us his Holy Spirit to live in us, to reveal the truth of this precious book. He's preserved the book for us to have in our day. You see, the problem is this. Even for us who are Christians, the problem is we have not been showing up for class. He's got the instruction. He's got the teacher. He's got everything we need, but somehow or another, we just don't show up for all the classes. Who got my sign? Amen. Peter said this in 2 Peter 1:3, according to his divine power, hath given us as unto all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Two quick points. Lord, teach us what to do about me understanding my relationship with you. The understanding where we came from and our great-great-great-granddad and where he brought us to. helps me understand these two points. Number one is this. My relationship starts with a personal relationship with God. Hear this, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, why do you say that, preacher? Because you won't have one with him if you don't go through him. Amen. Now, some people, hey, I know there's probably, out of 7 billion people on the face of the earth, probably 6 billion or more of them, and probably 6.5 billion, maybe close to 6.75 billion, I don't know. But most of them will tell you, you can have a relationship with God just the way you want to. But the Bible says we can't. The evidence of God's presence far outweighs the proof of his absence. In Acts 16:31, the Apostle Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. It didn't mean the house would be saved because of the jailer's belief, but it meant they could believe, be saved just like he would be saved if they'd believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this includes a relationship of devotion with Jesus Christ. You don't believe in Christ without being devoted to it. Because the same God who brought you to him will help you see you need to be devoted to him. He is the answer to our life. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, that means that I have sometimes questions must be asked when it comes to commandments. What is it? His word. Some questions have to be asked. God, what do you think about me? I mean, you said all sin comes short of the glory of God. Help me understand that sin problem. Because you find most people don't think they're sinners. What have I done to be called a sinner? Well, God calls us one. In fact, he says the whole human race is sin. Romans 3:23. I have to know something about him. I have questions to begin with. How does God know? How well does God know me? How close is God to me? God says he loves me. How do I know that God loves me? Does God really love me? Because I'll tell you this, Satan will whisper, he don't. You get in a tough situation and Satan says, God don't really love you. If he did, you wouldn't be where you're at. You wouldn't be going through what you're going through. See, that's exactly. He got Eve on the basis that he tempted her that God had something so good and didn't want her to know about it. She didn't know what the difference. She didn't know what evil was. She didn't know what sin was. I mean, the whole thing, she's seen the perfect relationship with God. Wonderful environment. I mean, you're talking about you can't ask for a better environment, and somehow or another got her thinking that God had something better. When you have the best, you can't get no better. Amen. But he made them think that they could at this particular time. So I have to ask God to help me understand him first. See, God understands me. I know that. He knows who I am. In Psalms 139, he said somebody, he knows the very next words I'm going to say. He knows the thoughts I have. By the way, so he does you. He knows where your thoughts are in here with me today or outside looking in the world somewhere while you're in here. That's right. God knows everything. He knows exactly. God wants to help some people. We're not burglars of the will. He'll not go against them. A person can go to church, sit there like a lot, not on the log, and not get a thing if that's what they want to do, and God will bypass them. Even his own people won't be blessed in a situation like that. And so he tells us what in Psalms 139, exactly how we are in this world. God must help me understand him. And he does. I see in verse 1 through 4, he said, God is omniscient, all knowing. He knows everything. God knows every move he talks about here that we make. He knows every thought we have. He knows every moment that we live. He knows every word that we're going to speak. Nothing escapes him. He in verse 1 through 4, David talks about that in Psalms 139. Our lives are in his hands. Our directions that we take has its own set of consequences. Every direction decision we make of a direction has a set of consequences. Obey God and there's going to be blessings along with the trials. Disobey God and there's going to be that which we have to face. We have consequences that we have to face. And you find this out as you serve God after a number of years, an amazing thing. I mean, when Barbara and I came here, at 28 years old, we never thought we'd be here till I was 73 years old. 45 years, never thought that. And what amazes me, everything we have came from God. Amen. I mean that. But we were looking back this past week. People that was with us in years ago. Oh, how our heart reached for some of that love we had in those days. Oh, how we look back and thought about how God, when we just needed so much, and God just kept supplying the need. Everything we ever got, God gave it through his people. And we've seen people get upset and envy and everything else because of it. And it used to bother us, don't bother us no more. God is saying, now, son, I brought you where you're at. I test you all the way. I've got you where you're at. I don't know if I'll be here another year or 2 years. I don't know where I may be in heaven. That's all right, too. But I know this. I'm on the right track, and I'm serving the right God, and Jesus Christ is all I have. Amen. I'm going to tell you that, folks, and that's the way it ought to be with you. That's the way it ought to be with all of us. He is the answer. Our lives are in His hands. God also is omnipotent. He means He's all-powerful. He has to reveal Himself to me. It means that God's power surrounds and encourages us. God is also omnipresent. Everywhere at one time. Boy, that'll blow your mind. You think about that. Death does not separate us from the presence of God Almighty. Outside of Jesus Christ, we are separated from Him. Yes. But death itself, he's just as alive after we die as He is before we die, physically speaking. He tells us that in verse 7 and 8 of 139 Psalms. Distance does not separate us from God, verse 9 and 10. Darkness doesn't hide us from God, verse 11 and 12. God sees no difference between light and darkness because wherever He is, that's light. Only He could separate when it comes to have darkness because of sin. God sees no difference. You cannot speak of God in absence. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, all things are naked and are unto Him, open unto His eyes. God has invited, this great God who sees all of this, has invited us to get an intimate acquaintance with Him, to have a relationship with Him, a love relationship with Him. And He's made a way. Don't turn His invitation down. He wants a personal relationship with you and I through Jesus Christ. If you're here, don't turn the relationship down. If you listen by radio, don't turn the relationship down. If you listen by upstream, don't turn the relationship down. He wants a He's done everything He could but force you and I to become a child of God. And He'll never do that this side of eternity. You mark that down. Again, thank God that He has made a way that we could have this life. Number two, my message then, it's got to be about God's plan in His Son, Jesus Christ. This race, tell me what to do, Lord. In this relationship with God, my message has got to be about Jesus Christ because there can be no other way to have this relationship. God called me as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. He called me by His grace. He called me by His love. He called me by His kindness. He didn't call me because I was clever. He didn't call me because I had a gigantic ability. He called me because He saw what He could make in it. And by the way, that's what He's trying to do with you. Amen. Every child of God. He knows where we can do. He knows how much talent. He knows everything about us. And He wants to let Him bring it out for His glory. If not, Satan would capitalize on it and use some things to mess up the things of God. He just wants our availability. So my salvation is about Jesus Christ. He is God's grace. He is God's grace. It's pure grace. It has no mixtures. It has no additives. It has no adorations that it just added to it. Can I add anything to my salvation? No. The work is finished. Jesus said that when He died on the cross. Grace gives us rest in Christ. Legalism can't do that. It can only condemn us. And in it, the law eventually kills if it's not obeyed. Thank God He obeyed it for us. No one can earn His salvation. Then why in the world do people dishonor God by trying to work out their salvation? You can't work it out. If He could, Jesus would not have to come. That ought to be answer enough when you talk about this relationship. The master communicator is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit talks to the church through God's Word. That's you and I. He inspired this book that we'd have the message. We'd have the plan, the purpose from Genesis to Malachi, Old Testament, New Testament, transition period from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts, and then to finish out. And then He gives us a picture at the end in the book of Revelation. Thank God Almighty. Jesus talks to God the Father too in John 14, verse 6. You and I have access to Him, to the throne of grace. God the Father talks to the Holy Spirit, John 16, 13. The Holy Spirit talks to us, Revelation 2, 7, verse 17, verse 19. Let him that hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He intercedes for us, Romans 8, 16 and 27. We ought to listen to His voice before you listen to anyone else. You hear what I said? We need to listen to His voice before we listen to anyone else. You say, but preacher, wait a minute, how do you do that? You hear what others say, but you listen to His voice from this book. And it will bear it out in context if it's truth. This means that you have to study the Word of God if you're going to listen to His voice. See, ladies and gentlemen, God's Word will solve our problems. It'll solve our mental problems, Psalm 100, Psalm 19, verse 165. God's Word is the source of wisdom, Proverbs 2, 6, and 9, 10, and Psalms 111, 10, Ecclesiastes 9, 18, Isaiah 33:6. God's Word will cleanse your conscience, John 15, 3. It'll purify you, Psalms 119, 9. It'll correct you, 2 Timothy 3:16. It'll give you joy in John 15, 11. Our struggles are about Him, because of Him in this life, when it comes to our work and what we're doing. My troubles are not God's fault. Whatever I face, whatever you face in this life, God, help me understand my relationship with you. God did not mess up. My troubles are not His fault. Your troubles are not His fault. God did not mess up. We messed up as a human race. And when I see this, I say that God is not even mad. Out of His love comes forth the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem us back unto Himself. God is holy. He reaches out to this world in love, in grace, in mercy, showing at Calvary how much He loved this world. But He always said, if you reject His Son, there's a consequence. There's a consequence. The Bible teaches us that our body is surrendered to Him, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. What a beautiful verse of Scripture that Paul writes to the church at Corinth, which is one of the most carnal churches that there was. And he talked about this relationship with God. We should use our bodies to honor God. God taught me that a long time ago. A lot of things. Somebody said, well, that's God. I don't believe nothing wrong in this. Well, if you love God enough and it offends somebody, you find yourself laying it aside. Because that's what God's love does for a person if He's ever going to use you for His glory. And I thought, as we think about this first Sunday in our struggles, our bodies must be surrendered to Him. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Boy, a child can understand that. And then in verse 20, he said, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God. And he says, in your body first. I wonder why. And spirit, he said, but he didn't say glorify God in your spirit first and then I hope you glorify the body. He said glorify, notice again, God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They're both God's. And therefore, he instructs us. We should use our body to honor God. Not to indulge in our passions here, not to grab attention here, not to express our opinions here and rebuke anybody at all just because they don't know about the Scriptures. The Corinthians had trouble with this. Their philosophy was this, folks, like we have today in this world. Separate the flesh from the spirit conveniently. And when Monday through Saturday comes, I'll just enjoy the flesh, boy, amen. Then I'll just worship God on Sunday. That's not a relationship with God, ladies and gentlemen, because He said, you're not your own. Have fun with the flesh all during the week and then honor God with the Spirit on Monday. Be wild on Monday through Saturday and worship God on Sunday. Why? You can have it all. Yes, sirree. It's your body. Do with it what you want with. Have you not heard that? Why, they'll tell you that on the networks of television. Hey, it's your own. It's your body. Do with it what you want to do. It is not your body if you're saved. God says it's His. He says, I bought you at a price. Write that in your, mark that in your Bible. Read that over and over and say, dear God, help me understand my relationship with Thee. And you'll find out there's something that said, God, I want you to do. And there's a hindrance there. He'll help you remove it in your life. Paul says that God disagrees with that type of philosophy. He don't. You can't be, you know, saved and at the same time live like you did before you were saved. Folks, you know that's Bible. Did you know that some years ago when I came on that, when you heard a man of God preach, you heard that all the time? Did you know you don't hear much about this now? The only thing you hear is just the fact that if you just do a couple things, God will give you everything you want, and you'll be rich and multiply and everything. And when it comes to the things of God that really were has always been, since God wrote this book, people deviate from it, but using the scriptures like they did, deceiving others with so-called scripture. You know, did you know Satan, when he approached Adam and Eve, he quoted what she said God said, but he quoted that she didn't really understand what he said, but he didn't mean what he said. Go back and read it. And when he said, well, she didn't really mean that, it means something else. And she began to try to reason what it meant. And by the way, the flesh, it's fallen, will always go the way it satisfied the flesh if we're not careful in this particular life. There's things in this life we do that sometimes won't be done, will not be done. This body should be kept clean before God. You can make excuses about a lot of things, but this should be kept clean. I mean, this body would be given to God. And it ought to be that there's nothing enters this body that would harm us from doing what God would call us to do. Not, you know, somebody say, well, we overeat. Well, we overeat, but food's good. We get to heaven, we're going to eat all we want and have to get fat. Amen? But here in this life, and there's certain food that does hurt a person, not to eat it, but there's nothing wrong with good food. The only thing I'd say that Barbara and I have trouble with now is the fact we have to watch what we eat as we get older. I wish I was young again to eat anything I wanted. Amen? But I can't do that now because I get a bubble here and a bubble here and I everywhere. And so do you too. But God is telling us that the body is His. That means I'm going to put nothing in. I'm not going to drink anything that causes my mind not be in control all the time. I know it. I'm not going to smoke anything and turn it where someone may say you can't even be saved if you do that. I'm not going to do that. I battled that years. I got victory over that years. God helped me get victory over that years ago. Just the fact is, it's not going to hinder this me from doing what God wants me to do. You heard me tell my story about that. How that the lady one night, Bible's witness, with Brother Don Stern's dad years ago. And a witness person, and all of a sudden she said, well, there's no way I can be saved if my mother had taught me that if I smoked. I said, I don't see how you get that. She said, because, and she had a reason for it. I never find that's a criterion not to get saved. But I found this out, when you get saved, I gave it up. I smoked like a freight train before I got saved. We got to help me get it. I'm telling you, our lives, the way we think, the things that we take in should be different. I want to take in only what I can put out to bring God the older I get. There are things in this life that nowadays we take. Hey, I was raised on a farm. I was taught that that was the best tobacco, the best thing in the world to have. My dad made it. In fact, that, the more you got smoked, the more money you made. That was the way we were taught. What I'm saying to you is God says we're not our own, though. We are to be giving ourselves to God. And boy, He helps us. Believe me, I hated alcohol. I hated alcohol because I saw what it did. So I didn't have no trouble with alcohol. I didn't know what drugs was. My dad and mother didn't even drive me to church, so I didn't know what drugs was. But I tell you what, I knew what it was. The time I smoked a cigarette, I thought I was helping Dad get his money next time we pass a crop somewhere or another. And then one day I went witnessing, and this lady said, I said, you mean to tell me if I come in here trying to win you the Lord and you know I spoke? She said, I wouldn't listen to a thing you said, preacher. I said, let me tell you something. Now, you won't understand what I'm fixing to say. I didn't lay cigarettes down because I thought they were wrong. I laid them down because God said people like you would be hindered. And therefore, if I'm going to be what I need to be for God, I laid it down. And she said, preacher, tears in her eyes. You mean to tell me that you would do something like that for someone like me? I said, dear lady, I sure would, because you said that's an offense, and if I'm going to be who I want to be, I'll lay it down. Now, I'm just telling you, this thing about we're not our own. That's what God says when we come to that endurance. Persuade things in your own mind, but He's telling us, ladies and gentlemen, today, that we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And by the way, one day Paul said to the church at Corinth, if eating meat offend a brother, don't eat meat. Paul said, you sanctified by prayer and everything's all right to eat, but don't eat meat. Don't eat meat if you offend a brother. That means don't do it before them to cause them to fall, because the person may not be grown enough for that at this time. What am I saying? I'm saying God says it's your body. It's not your body now. It may have been, but it's not now. Paul said God disagrees with this. Why? Because your body is God's if you say. My body is God's too, so I have to maintain it. He helps me to do that. My body is God's temple, so I must respect this body. This is temple of God. Ladies and gentlemen, when you leave this building, only the omnipresence of God's going to be here. When you leave, the temple of God is left. Because that's who we are. The temple of God. What I'm saying to you today is that God, teach me who you are. And teach me about my relationship to you when it comes to myself. Teach me what to do about me understanding my relationship with you. James 4, real friendship involves loyalty. Relationships are formed by spending time together. Christ is the source of our spiritual communion. God cares about us to stamp His image upon us in this life. Isn't it amazing? God stamped His image on us. Now, we lost it in Adam, but we get it back in Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you, does not God have a right to ask us to do anything He wants to? Amen. He paid it in full. I'll never get over it. Praise God for that. Once this relationship with God has been established, we have a great responsibility to live our lives as good stewards. A good relationship, someone said, is like shaving. I mean, no matter how well you shave yourself today, you have to do it all over again tomorrow. No matter how good a relationship you have with God today, you'll have to have it tomorrow. It's not a one-day affair. It's day by day by day. And as good stewards, we are accountable to God on how we conduct ourselves before Him and this world. May I say to you again, as I read in your hearing, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, because I have been bought with a price, therefore, on account of that, know that I'm saved. He said, glorify God in your body. By the way, that includes witnessing. You want to witness for the Lord. I could name a lot of things here and probably hit all of us, including myself, because this includes a complete surrender to God. Then He says, and your spirit. Then He reminds us, which are not ours, but He said, of God, read it, which are God's in this life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, now read this, and this will be it, closing. God said this in verse 7. To you and I, talking about this body which is made of dust, He says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Amen. Now this body, He said, I've redeemed you, I bought you back with a price. I want you to know one day, this body that you live in is going back to the dust. But the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Now, there's two things there. To return in Christ is to live with Him forever and be in the rapture one day. To return outside of Christ is hell and the lake of fire. It's simple. Simple. The question is, with this will we have, with this mentality we have, with this ability we have in the image of God to reason and to think and make a choice, God gives us the facts and He says, now what will you do with it? And we ought to be saying, Lord, please help me know what to do about me understanding my relationship with you. If I'm saved, help me understand my relationship there. If I'm not saved, help me understand how to get that relationship so I can have, not just know about you, not one day say, well, I thought God was so, and maybe God will forgive me because I was sincere. No, He's laid out the facts. Use the God-given wisdom to make evaluation and the right decision for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Our Father, I thank You again for the day. Lord, when we're talking about stewardship, this is things that God would have us to understand. This time, we're tied our relationship to You. Next week, it'll be about the church. Next week, it'll be on some other things. Father, our relationship with You is important. It's not that we know about You. Lord, I was in church 3 years knowing about You. Man, I had a lot of knowledge about You. but there's no personal relationship. Every time it came time for me to do something that in turn would show who I was, I'd have something else to do. Even when it came to baptize me, I was playing ball. And that moment, playing ball was more important than being baptized. Boy, when I got saved September 27, 1959, ain't a ball game in this world kept me from being baptized. It amazes what the difference is when you stand in the right place before the cross of Christ and see Him, who He is and what He did. Bless your people today. They come here, Lord, this is not to browbeat. This is to help. This is not to criticize. This is to help. Lord, please help us. We need your help. The world is dragging everybody in different directions. We need your help biblically, knowing what to do. Remind us as we go back and find what a good steward is in Stewardship Month in our relationship with you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.